Good morning. We are going to do a short experiment about something that almost doesn't really seem possible. And seeing is going to be believing. So I just need one volunteer who's going to help me here. Sorry, there's lots of you. Just Isaac, why don't you jump up the front? And what we've got is we've got a balloon, which I'm going to give you, and a balloon which I've got here. And what we're going to do is we've got a pin here. And we're going to try and put the pin into one of these balloons and see if we can manage to make it not burst. Now, seeing is really going to be believing here. Now, Isaac, children, you may want to cover your ears. Why don't you have a go with your balloon first? Let's see how you get on. So we're just going to make sure these are real balloons and this is a real pin, okay? So take a step forward, take the pin, and see if you can make that go in without... Oh. Okay. Right, so that was a good attempt. Okay, let's see if I can get on with my balloon here, okay? Let's see if I can manage to make my one work, okay? Okay. Isaac, why don't you have a go with my balloon on this side? Oh, goodness gracious. Well, there we go. Why don't you take a seat? Thank you very much for helping make my point. Sometimes seeing is believing, and sometimes things are just out of our comprehension. We don't really understand them. If I'd been stood here 18 months ago and told you that Leicester City, currently bottom of the Premier League, with 7 games to go, would be 4 points clear with a game in hand, you'd think I was absolutely crazy. You wouldn't believe it, but now seeing quite clearly is believing. And congratulations to the man who did believe that and put £50 on it at the start of the season and just won £70,000 by cashing out early. So, you know, so there's lots of things that sometimes we just don't think are possible. We've had some friends staying with us this weekend, and it's really great to have them, and they're getting married this summer. And last night we were talking about best men speeches and also talking about talking in the front of church. And we came to the conclusion that both a best man speech and an all-age talk have one thing in common, and that is that they need to be similar to a mini skirt. Long enough to cover the essentials, but short enough to keep everyone interested. So hopefully we won't take too long this morning. Our reading could have read like this, couldn't it? Thomas, silly old Thomas, he missed the party. He refused to believe his friends who told him they'd seen the resurrected Jesus. Stubborn Thomas said, "Unless I actually see these marks or the nails in his hands and put my fingers on those marks, I'm not going to believe." So the next week, Jesus, being a pretty decent guy, showed up again and enlightened old doubting Thomas. Thomas put his fingers in each of the scars and he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have found faith. Happy are they who believed without seeing." And maybe the message should be about believing without seeing. It should probably be hard on old doubting Thomas, encouraging all to believe without even seeing. I've heard similar messages said, emphasising the importance of faith and the assurance of Jesus' presence following the resurrection and the need to be solid Christians in the world today. But I think that sermon's a little bit unfair on old Thomas. You see, taking Jesus' rebuke of Thomas, the famous thing, often out of context, can sometimes muddy the water. Jesus actually wants people to be empowered, people to see him, to have faith after seeing him. And he does it over and over again throughout the scriptures and even in our lives today. When Jesus first revealed himself to Mary in the garden, she thought he was a gardener. He could have ignored her and walked on by. But Jesus comforted Mary, called her by name, and she recognized him. For Mary, Jesus made sure he was seen, then Mary's faith was secure. Next, as we hear in our readings, Jesus appeared to the disciples. And let's be honest, it was a pretty scary time for them. Jesus, their teacher, their leader, had just been murdered. And they were worried. What was Jesus coming back for? Who was this man? And Jesus appears to them. He doesn't say, "Why didn't you believe in me? Why weren't you ready? You guys are crazy." He says to them, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus shows him his hands and his sides. And then after seeing the scars, they recognized their Lord and rejoiced. So we come to Thomas after Jesus appeared to Mary and the disciples, and we think, is it too much for Thomas to want that same experience? You may have been at an event or been somewhere and you hear people say, oh, I wish you'd been there, or you needed to see that. It just, that moment where hearing about something secondhand just isn't quite the same as being there. Dynamo the magician filled out the O2 this week with his new magical stage show. And it was great to watch parts of it on TV, and it was interesting to see it. But I imagine actually being in that audience and seeing it in front of you would have been so much more real and so much more effective and so much more amazing. So for Thomas, wasn't any less faithful than the other disciples. He just wanted to be included in that experience. Suffering from deep grief, he'd probably hastily said, unless I see the marks and the nails and put my hands on those scars, I'm not going to believe. You can't really blame him. He just wanted a first-hand experience, something tangible. So the following week, Jesus appeared again, and this time Thomas is around. Jesus invites Thomas to put his fingers on his scars. Do not doubt, but believe. And in the next breath, Thomas exclaims, my Lord and my God. He understood. He got it. Jesus appeared to Thomas just as he had to Mary and the rest of his disciples. But unlike them, he followed it up with a sentence that does seem a little bit harsh. He says, happy are those who do not see but believe. Was he rebuking Thomas? But then in the very next verse, he says, John goes on to say, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not in this book. And the next verse talks about Jesus, many people seeing Jesus after his death and his resurrection. In this context of Jesus appearing to so many, the gospel writer emphasizing Jesus' signs, it really seems unfair to come down on Thomas for having to believe without seeing these same signs. Was Jesus rebuking Thomas, or was he preparing the disciples for him leaving and for people having to believe in the future without seeing? Jesus' instruction to believe without seeing, set amidst five stories of people believing because of seeing, should cause us to pause and read a little bit deeper. Christians today, we believe that Christ is risen, we said it this morning, but not remote, that Christ has ascended to heaven, but as the good shepherd, he still cares for every last one of his sheep. The problem with saying, don't worry about seeing, believing no matter what, is that Jesus over and over again appears. Sure, we don't want to look for Jesus in the same way that the first disciples did. I mean, let's be honest, we can't. We can't see him physically. We can't have that experience that Thomas had. We can't put our hands in Jesus' side. But we long to see God's work in the world today. And that's good, isn't it? Years after the resurrection, it's not as if Jesus has left us and is in heaven and not really worrying about us. No, the whole point of the cross was to say God is with us and never leaves us. God will go even to the point of death for us. So look around. Where do we see Jesus? Take a look around. It may be simple, but it's worth remembering. We see Jesus in the Bible. In the scriptures, God has revealed the word to us, and it's through reading, studying, and discussing the Bible that we can see Christ. John wrote about it. He said, these signs have been written down and recorded in order that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. Well, if those signs have been written down and recorded, if we want to believe that, let's read them. Let's get excited about them. Let's see what Jesus did. It's interesting as well that Jesus often, other than his experience with Mary, appeared to people in groups. Other than family gatherings, church is one of the few remaining places in our culture when we can actually have fully intergenerational experiences, meeting with people from all different ages. When in the church, we look to see Jesus in this community, gathered together to worship here and in the rest of the world. In the community that makes its prayers around the font for a baby, and in the community that gathers for the funeral of an elderly member. In Christ's body, the church, we can glimpse Christ himself. And a challenge to us is, would others looking in see Christ in our community by our love, by our care, and by our relationships with each other? Happy are they who have not seen but yet believe. It's hard to know exactly how to take this sentence, but I don't think it's one to pull out of context and pop on a bumper sticker. Considering the whole story, we come to realise Jesus calls us to look at the world with new eyes. But do not fear, because Christ does not send us into the world alone. Over and over again in John, Jesus speaks of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that God sends to comfort, accompany, and help us discern. In the locked upper room, Jesus appeared to the disciples and did not stay long, but he left the parting gift of the Holy Spirit, the blessing. So we, Christ's disciples today, should look for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we serve the risen Christ. When we read the Bible, we can ask God to send the wisdom of his Holy Spirit to guide us. We then, when we meet in our communities, especially the intergenerational community of the church, we can do so looking for God, looking for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit moving amongst our midst. And as we live our lives outside these walls, seeking to see Christ, where at first we would not expect, we can pray that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to make us see things anew. And in seeing, it's believing. And sometimes when it feels that Jesus isn't so obvious to us, or God perhaps isn't as real as we thought he was, is that because he stopped being real? Or is that perhaps because we've stopped looking? Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Amen.